Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate your company and your willingness to listen in and engage in the program with us here at Connecting Faith and at Faith Radio. Our objective is to connect faith to life. In other words, not just to get more head knowledge, but to apply wisdom, to apply that knowledge and allow a biblical worldview to shape our thinking. And so we like to address topics of importance every day. Look at how what the Bible has to say about it. And that's certainly the case today as we focus in a bit on parenting. It's probably never been more challenging. I think parenting's always been challenging. But here on this day after Father's Day, I want to focus on what it means to raise secure daughters and confident sons. By the way, happy Father's Day to you. I hope you had a wonderful weekend and were appropriately honored dads, if that's in your category, if that's who you are. There's the old joke about the father who says, I always tell my kids, don't spend a lot, and they never do. Well, you know, it's not about getting ties, although I don't know if anybody gets ties anymore for Father's Day or cologne or those kinds of things. Hope you had a wonderful weekend anyway. And today we want to talk a bit about parenting. And it may be that if your parenting has been interesting, you could write about it. Have you ever thought about doing a little writing? We are in the midst of our second annual Faith Radio Writers Contest, and we're inviting you to submit your 700 to 1,000-word short story for the opportunity to win a 15-minute one-on-one appointment with an acquisition editor from Bethany House Baker Publishing Group, and submissions are open until June 29. And here's the opening line. The prompt is, in many ways, it made perfect sense. In many ways, it made perfect sense, and you can take off from there and give us your 700 words. Go to myfaithradio.com for a full list of rules and to submit your short story. It's myfaithradio.com. The second annual Faith Radio Writers Contest, the submissions open through June 29. All right, today we're going to spend some time with a resident expert at Focus on the Family. We've talked with him before and have so appreciated his insight and his clear writing and good discussions today, as we learn more about how parents can guide their children into authentic masculinity and femininity. And we want to talk today about boys and girls playing baseball and sports and, you know, all the things that we love that our kids take part in, all to help them grow and mature and to become adults and confident and secure. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A wonderful book from our guest today, Glenn Stanton, has written a book, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons, How Parents Guide Their Children into Authentic Masculinity and Femininity. This is from Multnomah. Glenn is a director of family formation studies at Focus on the Family. He debates and lectures extensively around the country on issues related to gender, sexuality, marriage, and parenting. And he has been our guest in the past. He's authored several books, and we are honored to have him with us today on the broadcast. Glenn, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, it is my pleasure to be with you and good to be with you. Thank you.
We just seems like this issue of who we are and our gender, our makeup, God's design in us is constantly being discussed and talked about. And so I just thought this would be a good time to talk about that, what it means to be male and female, and particularly as it helps us as parents to raise secure daughters and confident sons. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But Glenn, let me maybe just start with this. You're a parent with five kids, right?
Yes, my wife and I have five kids. We have one boy in the middle of four girls. And so we have a very interesting mix. What's cool about the boy is that he's very comfortable with girls. He knows how to deal with them. In fact, that has gotten him interest from very nice girls, like a grade above him. So his friends just can't understand, like, how he's the cool one that gets interest from girls that are older than him. And it's because he just has that confidence around girls.
And is he a teenager now?
He is a teenager,
okay.
Yes. And okay. He is a twin, so boy and girl twins, and they are about to turn 18, which just right. blows my mind.
Wow. Okay. So we'll get a lot of life experience coming in today's show. So, Glenn, let's start with this. I mean, seemingly a lot of confusion about, you know, gender. Is it something that, you know, maybe it's just been a cultural agenda that's been introduced, or have there always been questions about what it means to be masculine and feminine?
Well, that's a great question. It really seems to be a more recent thing. First of all, that this thing has even come into question. When I speak on college campuses, if I say that there are two types of humans, male and female, I will get booed. I've been booed. And because, you know, in the very liberal progressive mindset, it is just, you know, 101 that, oh, there's all kinds of different human beings. Well, I've never met anybody, you know, that in some way doesn't fit into the male or female category. And I think, Neil, that it's more than just a social agenda. I really do think that it's a spiritual agenda. And this is not that, you know, anybody who proposes anything other than, you know, everybody being either male or female is being used by Satan. But Satan really in the world today and in this modern age is getting us not just to doubt the word of God like he did at the fall, but the very image of God in the world. I mean, God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and he creates the male and female. What that means is that the female human and the male human, they both represent God in a unique way in their gender difference than the other does. And I think Satan really is attacking that, and in attacking that, really challenging the very nature of God as revealed in humanity. And I see it, I mean, constantly in my work.
Are these, maybe we can just talk about, because in the book you establish early on is sort of some basic characteristics, and then there's a lot of practical helps about how do we help, you know, raise our children in the way that they should go. We'll talk about that in a minute. And plus the book, there's lots of good questions and answers in each chapter, which you'll find helpful as well. It's called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. But I'm wondering if these primary characteristics have changed over time, and are they global? So if we're in a, you know, a completely different culture on, you know, the other side of the world, will we find these sort of similar characteristics?
You know what, that is the big, really important question, because depending on that answer, you know, is there a human male and female nature? And never do we go anywhere in the world and we have to wonder, like, okay, who are the males and who are the females here? And what's that other kind of being that we don't have any category for? Everywhere you go in the world, there are only two types of human beings. There are males, there are females. And they generally act the same. I mean, for all the differences in culture, you think about National Geographic magazine and, you know, the way they adorn their bodies and the way they live and eat and you know, share labor. It really comes down to there are always male and female. And again, that goes back to that's how God created us. And that's a big point. And while there are differences in male and female, again, there is a fundamental male nature. There is a fundamental female nature. Now, that does not mean, and I go into deep, deep detail in my book, that, okay, all good men act this way and all good women or, you know, young ladies act this way. There are a zillion different ways to be a good woman. There are a zillion different ways to be a good man. But there are specific things that we recognize cross-culturally as male behavior and female behavior, female essence and male essence.
Well, maybe we should spend a little time talking about that and along the way then deal with some of the stereotypes, because it seems like there are, you know, we're probably just as guilty of having stereotypes as we are of not maybe recognizing the distinctive natures.
And that's exactly right. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book is to deal with those stereotypes. And, you know, we have had that. We have Christian books that, you know, well, men are rugged and tough and, you know, looking for a fight, looking for something to conquer, and women are, you know, tender and, you know, things like this. I call them, you know, the girls, the pretty in pink, myth, and then the rough and tumble myth of guys. And a lot of them can be that way, but we have men, you know, and I talk about provocatively so, like Mr. Rogers on the Mr. Rogers show. You know what? He's a good man. If you look at the general male categories rather than the stereotypical male categories. And that's what I go into. Not all good little boys have to be, you know, the rough and tumble outdoor hunting, you know, looking for things to break or blow up or set on fire. And all good little girls don't have to be, you know, the tender princess loving, you know, little people either. And there's God has made us with a great wide variety and diversity, and the parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about, because we all have kids who, you know, don't really fit into the stereotype or the norm, if you will, and that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them at all. It means they're what God created them to be.
I was curious, is there a point where we, as guys, are supposed to stop breaking things and blowing things up and setting them on fire? I mean, is there kind of an age range there where we should stop that, or
That's a great question. The issue is, as we grow older, we know when the right time to do that is and when the right time is not to do it. I like to say that is that masculinity is really defined by knowing what needs doing and when it needs being done. And, you know, a man is able to make that decision and, you know, even risk himself in being able to do that. So, you know, as kids, we want to break things. We want to throw things. We want to, you know, kind of be radical in that way. But maleness, adulthood, is learning how to use that male energy in a pro-social way on behalf of others. And that's male maturity.
Good word, the pro-social way. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about what that looks like as well. As well as I want to get to Glenn's perspective on those words in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. What does that really mean? That we're going to talk about, you know, is it important to encourage play with gender-specific toys and some of the other things? You may have a question or two as we talk today about secure daughters and confident sons. How parents guide their children into authentic masculinity and femininity. And Glenn Stanton here to help us. Glenn is Director for Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. He's written a number of books, including Why Marriage Matters and Same-Sex Marriage, and his book My Crazy Imperfect Christian Family. And back in a moment.
Stay tuned. More of the best of Connecting Faith in just moments. Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/MyFaithRadio to follow us today.
To live by faith means to put God first. We at Faith Radio are committed to helping you grow deeper in your walk of faith. So we hope you'll boldly commit to live by faith by signing up to receive your Live by Faith wristband today. You can find it on our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. It is the Live by Faith wristband, and it's yours free for the asking. Again, myfaithradio.com.
Back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
We're talking about raising secure, confident kids in a gender-confused world today with the family researcher Glenn Stanton, giving us a clear vision of why gender matters and how we raise our children. And we're talking about the book Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Glenn Stanton serves folks in the family as Director of Family Formation Studies. And he has done a great deal of social research and cultural analysis for marriage and sexuality at Focus for a number of years and written several books. And he's a noted speaker and speaks on behalf of focus on these important issues. And just heard the little bumper music about "You're My Little Girl." We just sort of joked about, you know, guys breaking things and blowing them up and setting them on fire. But there are some characteristics of girls as well. Maybe we should just touch on some of those important categories, I guess we'd put it.
Yeah. One of the things that interested me, I mean, as I was writing this book, of course, did a lot of research. In fact, this is the most heavily researched book that I have written. But one of the things that I did was I asked Christian women, you know, young adult women, and secular women, and even, you know, some feminist women, not hardcore feminists, but ask them to respond to this question: a woman wants to be protected by a man. And I thought, you know, the very conservative Christian women would say yes. I thought that more mainline or even secular women or even feminists would just, it would make their head explode, you know, at that, you know, statement. And everyone that I asked, they said, oh, absolutely. And this is not because they can't make their own way in the world or that, you know, they're kind of wallflowers. But every one of the women that I talked to, and I talked to scores of them, you know, they said, yes, my hope, my desire is to be protected by a man, to be cared for by a man. And, you know, I thought that was very interesting in the female nature, that that's not just a cultural thing, a cultural expectation. It is deep in the heart of a woman to, one, be protected by her father, cared for by her father, and to be, you know, to be the number one female in her father's heart, separate apart from her own mother being in the father's heart. But young girls desire that, and they continue to desire that into adulthood, for a man to take care of them. That's the idea in the wedding, that the man takes the bride up to the altar, up the aisle, and gives her to the man and says, basically, this is my sweet daughter. This is the, you know, one of the most important women in my life, and now I'm giving her to you, and you have the responsibility to take care of her just like I did. And in the old days, if a man didn't do that, he had, you know, grandpa, the dad, the brothers to take, you know, to have to deal with, in thinking about, you know what, I've got a responsibility to care for and love this woman just like her own family does.
I know when your daughters were younger, you asked them about how does a healthy girl become a healthy woman, and it was what, have great hair, smell good, and lip gloss, I think, right? Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, when they were young, it's like, okay, a great woman, you know, has great hair. She knows how to wear her makeup. And, you know, my girls are not prissy girls, but that just came naturally out of them. And you asked the question earlier, and I was very interested in this book, that is there a fundamental female and male nature? And you will find in nearly all cultures, I can't think of one that's an exception, but women adorn themselves, and they adorn themselves more than men do, and it is the pursuit of beauty. And there are researchers who have done this kind of work of how do women present themselves to gain the interest of a possible domestic and sexual mate. And many times it's not exactly the same in terms of how they adorn themselves, but that they do. And that men universally are interested in generally the same kind of woman, or at least there are similarities between men in primitive cultures, developed cultures, all across the world and all through history, in terms of what they are interested in and what they're looking for in a woman. And women are the same way relative to men. So there is a universal male and female nature that God himself has put into all of us. And that was a fascinating finding to me. And so it's important for us to raise our kids in light of that, to know that for our little daughters, there's a fundamental, you know, female nature, the way women want to be and are, and there's the same sort of way for young boys being men. And again, what we talked about in the previous section is there's not just one way to be a good woman or not just one way to be a good man and to raise our kids into that, but there are a zillion different ways, and we recognize those things. What I like to joke is if we don't understand that intuitively, then Richard Simmons and his shtick just doesn't make any sense, right? Because, you know, the interesting thing about him and others is like, okay, he doesn't really seem to fit in any category. Same thing with Michael Jackson. And I say that kind of jokingly, but serious as well, that we know what a basic male and female nature is, and we know when people don't fit into that.
So let's talk about then a verse in Proverbs. What does it mean then to train up your child in the way they should go? What does that mean to you? What lessons can we learn from that?
Yeah, and I talk about that in the book, and many of us take that to mean, and I think it is true, train up a child in the way they should go in terms of what's right, what's moral, according to the rules and according to behavior. But I think it also means in the way that they should go. What's their temperament? How has God shaped them? And how do we as parents help nurture that? I mean, we all know, and maybe even in our own families, of, you know, parents who are guiding their kids in a direction that's important to them, the parents, rather than what's important to the kids. My kids always laugh at these movies, you know, especially like the father who wants his kid to be the football star, and he decides he doesn't want to be that anymore. And, you know, the line from the dad is, "But son, what about your dream? What about your goals?" And the guy says, we can all finish it, "No, Dad, that was your goal. That was your dream." And, you know, none of us want to be that parent. We want to help our children be what God has equipped them and made them to be. So relative to gender, my son, you know, he's more of a cerebral creative. He's an amazing artist. Early on, I tried to teach him, you know, how to throw the football, how to throw the baseball. He was never really interested in that. Now, I had the decision, and I had to say, you know what, he needs to learn those basic things so that he can relate to other boys out on the playground, but I don't really need to drive him in that direction. He likes art. He likes music. He likes to skateboard just like I did. That's about the sport that he likes. And so I need to encourage him in those things, push him in those things, challenge him in those things, and lead him in the way that he should go rather than the way that I think that he should go according to some stereotype. And it's the same with my daughters. I have girly girl daughters, and then I have, you know, kind of tough daughters. And it's to help them live in their femininity, but understand that, you know, femininity isn't so black and white, and to encourage them and shape them and mold them in the way that they should go, in the way that God has created them as unique individuals.
Of course, all these questions often lead up to, and we'll deal with some of them, and before our break, I guess we can at least enter into this, but Brenda called. Has a granddaughter who's announced that she's a lesbian. So how do we deal with that? I mean, that's often one of the, I think, the big questions. And parents say, look, it didn't used to be that, I mean, maybe before my kids played with the, you know, toys, opposite gender toys, and that wasn't a big deal. But now it seems like younger and younger ages, people are declaring their preferences and tendencies.
And I hear this all the time. In fact, I just finished a letter to somebody who wrote into Focus this morning. And this woman, very serious issue, but she's saying that her 9-year-old daughter says that she's a lesbian. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, she hasn't even started to really develop sexually. A lot of that is the culture, though. And it's, you know what, if you're not quite unsure about what you are, then let us tell you what you are. You're a lesbian, or you're, you know, transgendered or whatever. And we used to not have these problems. I mean, we used to have young people who like, okay, I'm not clearly going in a particular direction, But the parents come along and you know, make accommodations and say, okay, we're going to help you come to terms with who you are and do this in a loving and caring and compassionate way. But now we have the culture coming along and say, oh, here's exactly what you are. We have a name for it, and you know, we'd like to sign you up for this movement. And it is. It's a spiritual attack often on our children and on our families.
We're going to come back and pick up that conversation and more just on the other side of this break. Glenn Stanton is a director for Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. He debates and lectures extensively around the country on issues related to gender, sexuality, marriage, and parenting. We're talking about it today based on his book, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. And we'll continue with Glenn Stanton more in a moment.
Back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
We're talking about secure daughters, confident sons. And more importantly, this is how parents guide their children into authentic masculinity and femininity. And it's not just for their grade school years. No, it's about helping them to reach healthy adulthood, healthy men and women, and to carry on the God-given image that they bear. In a society that is certainly pushing gender confusion time and time again, as our guest Glenn Stanton has said, you know, there is definitely a spiritual aspect to this agenda and the fight in which we are in. And Glenn is the director of Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. He's done a great deal of analysis about marriage and sexuality, written several books, including Why Marriage Matters, and his book, My Crazy Imperfect Christian Family, explores the virtue of imperfect families and the sacredness of the mundaneness of family life, and he's a national media spokesman for Focus on these issues. Happy to have him with us today. That bumper just reminded me that as we talk about helping our kids grow into adulthood, that it does seem like there's the whole idea, particularly for boys, is the idea of risk-taking and initiative and competition seems to be kind of downplayed, even penalized today, maybe at least in the schools. So how do we promote a balanced view? And I guess maybe the other question is, what's the implication if we don't reverse this trend?
Well, we're going to lose what it means to be, you know, a boy to a man and a girl to a woman. It's very, very important. And I think this is interesting, and I found this in my research, that culturally, you know, across all human cultures, a woman is, or a girl is more likely to go into healthy womanhood all by herself if she's left to it. Not that we want to leave them to it, but they are more likely to move in that direction. I think one of the reasons is, and I call it this, that a young girl has a built-in natural bar mitzvah, if you will. It's a, you know, a ceremony that has happened with each of my four girls that takes them from, you know, childhood into young adulthood. And, you know, we all know what that is. And that is a very important thing for young ladies. For men, going from boys to men, that is a much, much more intentional process that every society and every family needs to create. That's, you know, why we have the Jewish bar mitzvah. And other cultures have these processes, these rituals, if you will, to take boys from, okay, now you're a man, now you're going to be, you know, have manly expectations. And cultures need to do that, and boys need to have that because they need to know. I mean, I never had that, and we in culture today never have that. And we have very adult men who never felt like they had the blessing of other older men to say, okay, now today you are a man. And I think that's the important thing, is that young boys need to be encouraged by the what I call the fraternity of men around them to say, today you're a man. And that doesn't mean that, okay, you now can go out and hunt and you know, field dress a bear or whatever the case may be. But in the kind of young man that you are, now you're a man, and we encourage you to be the kind of young man that you are. Maybe you are a bookish kind of person. Maybe you're more of a creative, artistic type of person. Maybe you're very physical and rough and tumble. But what does it mean to be a man in that nature and in that kind of personality and quality and who you are as a person? Men create other men, and that's just a human universal. In fact, the anthropologists tell us that, that really only men can create other men. And that's the, you know, the old idea of cutting the apron strings. That's what that means, is the boy needs to start identifying with other men and being shaped and formed by other men. And again, that's a cultural universal.
It does seem, though, that the whole focus on adulthood now is centered pretty much only around sexuality. I mean, that I know that you address that in the book, that there is a male nature and a female nature, but you know, it seems like it's all about sexuality now. It's maybe just how do we keep that, I guess, in perspective and balance?
Well, I mean, the irony is, and we all know this, is, you know, sort of this failure to launch thing that we have, you know, young men in their 30s who are like, well, you know, I think I'll be an adult probably when I turn 40. You know, when two generations ago, when a man turned 20, you know, he became a man. He realized his expectations. He put away childish things, primarily video games. Now, you know, you have, and ask the women today, you know, what do you do to pick through all the great responsible men that you encounter as potential partners? And they'll laugh at you, and they'll laugh, you know, because they know that we are not creating good men. And when I was doing the research for this book, I asked the question, how do we define and how do we look at and what drives a fundamental female nature and a fundamental male nature? And I saw that it comes around the female and male sexual nature. And, you know, you think about this, that a man to go out and find his way in the world sexually in a marriage relationship, he has to approach the woman. In all cultures, the man approaches the woman, and it's the woman who gets to say yes or no to a man. So that's where risk develops in the man. The man has to take the risk to approach the girl. He could get shot down, or he could meet with success, but he has to take that risk. Physically, his nature is outward. You know, he has to go approach the girl, but even in the relationship with the girl, he has to move toward her. She's the one that invites him, that receives him. So women are the ones that get to say yes or no. They're the ones that get to be discerning in that way, and they receive the man. Now, think about this in terms of childbearing. Women, once they have kids, they are the ones that are more likely to hold the baby close, to protect the baby. Men are the ones that, I mean, if you go to a grocery store, go to a mall, go to a park, you see babies being thrown up in the air, it will always be a man who's doing it. I mean, that's a very curious thing. Men are teaching the child to go out into the world, even if that means straight up into the air, and explore the world around them. Now, something very, very important happens in that, is the baby goes up in the air and they are scared to death. You can see the look on their face. But when they come back down, they get this excited look on their face. And if they're verbal, if they're to the age where they're verbal, they say, again, again. They love that kind of thing. And what the father has taught that child is to go out into the world, but I'm going to be here for you, and I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to protect you. And the kids love that, male and female. Now, the mom is usually not so high, or don't do that, or the baby's too young. kids need both of those things, the protectiveness of mom, but they also need kind of the risk-taking nature of dad. Mom's way provides security, but dad's way provides confidence that I can take a risk, I can take a challenge, but guess what? Dad's going to be there to help me. And that's very, very important, and it speaks to just in one measure of, again, the male physical and sexual nature, that it's outward, that it's risk-taking, and the woman is more secure, she's more safe, she's more discerning, and children need and benefit from both of those models of parenting.
Glenn Stanton's my guest today. We're talking secure daughters, confident sons, how parents guide their children into authentic masculinity and femininity. And again, our phone number is 877-933-2484. An anonymous caller asked off air, what do you do when a girl grows up and she's not developed any sort of security? How do you rebuild? And I think that's one of the areas that it does seem like girls are particularly increasingly vulnerable to preying boys and men, you know, with this sort of sexually free culture in which we live.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's a textbook thing, and not necessarily that this girl, this may be true of her, but more times than not, 99.9% of the time, that insecure girl is a girl that had either a missing father or abused by her father or, you know, was just not fathered well. Girls who allow themselves to be physically, sexually, emotionally manipulated by a man, she has not learned from her father about how to read and how to be secure with men. You know, you think about this, a young girl who has not ever sat in her father's lap, who has not felt his strong arms, who has not, you know, smelled his perspiration, who has not felt the roughness of his face, she is always wondering about what that feels like. And you know what? An enterprising, manipulative man comes along, and oftentimes an older man who is willing to give that to her for what he can get from her, you know, she is willing to give that. And, you know, she will give sex to get the attention from a man. But a young girl, a young woman who has been well-fathered, she is extremely unlikely to not be fall for that kind of manipulation, because she knows what a good man is. She knows what a protective, caring, emotional and physically protecting man is like. It's just like her father. And we see that time and time and time again. And that's so unfortunate. It's such a big thing for me as a father to four girls to make sure that they know physically, you know, what it's like to interact with a safe man, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, all of those things. So what do we do with a young woman who has never had that? Well, first of all, it is a difficult uphill climb, but what she needs in her life and what she needs to look for is a good, secure, caring, protective man who is aware of the deficit that she has had growing up and can really help fill in the gap there, if you will. It can also be from older men, you know, grandfather figures who can say, okay, I'm going to teach this young woman what it really means to be cared for and loved by a man in a proper sense. I say a grandfather figure because it's sort of hard for, you know, the closer in age to her, it's weird for him to be, you know, even properly physical with her, you know, to hug her, to hold her hand, to, you know, help her know what proper and physical interaction is, even if it's not romantic. And you can provide that for these women by, you know, proper relationships with men today and to help that woman know. And oftentimes women can help that. You know what? For women who have that insecurity, ask the women around you who good men are that you should, you know, submit yourself to in terms of your emotional and relational and romantic vulnerability. And the women around you, that's one of the greatest resources that you might have to, you know, guide you in your protection from bad men and the gift of good men.
In a moment, we'll come back, talk a little bit more about maybe the other side of the spectrum, from insecurity to domineering. How do women do their work of civilizing men in a good way, godly way? We're talking Secure Daughters, Confident Sons with Glenn Stanton. Glenn T. Stanton's Director for Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family, and speaks on these issues of gender, sexuality, marriage, and parenting around the country, and represents Focus on the Family in this area, and got great insight for us today. And we'll continue in just a moment. In fact, we're going to get to the question about gender-specific toys as well. All that just on the other side of this short break.
Thanks for joining us for the best of Connecting Faith. More in just a moment.
That feeling comes with a phone call you didn't expect.
That feeling as the news sinks in.
About the surprise diagnosis or the financial curveball. And in that moment, it's hard not to feel alone.
To wonder how you're going to deal with it all.
Be encouraged today. You don't have to go through it alone.
There's a whole community of friends ready to encourage you and pray for your situation. It's called PrayerWorks.
An online, completely anonymous source of inspiration and hope.
Find PrayerWorks at myfaithradio.com.
One day, your home will be filled with glorious music, lifting your spirits to new heights. That day begins with this day, the day you register for the University of Northwestern Academy of Music. Classes are for all ages and abilities, taught in a Christian setting by Northwestern students and faculty. Solo, individual, and select group lessons are available, as well as our vibrant youth choir, unwsp.edu. University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Your life. On purpose.
So I dance with Cinderella while she is here in my arms. I know something the prince.
Welcome back to an encore presentation, the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired program.
48 past the hour. With Glenn Stanton, a guest today on Connecting Faith, talking about his book, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons, How Parents Guide Their Children into Authentic Masculinity and Femininity. And Glenn has researched this area and spoken on it extensively. He directs family formation studies that focus on the family. And Glenn, we were just talking about responding to the question about an insecure girl. There's sort of the other side of that, seems maybe more today, where girls become assertive. So how do they do that without maybe being domineering? Because there is a sense where women are the ones who civilize men.
Well, women absolutely civilize men, and they do it through marriage, because marriage is the relationship on the woman's terms. Cohabitation and just dating and hooking up is more of the relationship on the guy's terms. I call it in my book this influence that women have, and it's the most powerful influence in the world, quite literally, is first of all a woman's prerogative to say yes or no to the romantic and sexual advances of a man. And I call this their soft strength. It is absolutely a strength. And it's interesting. It's sort of an irony coming from women. And we see this in our grandparents, our grandmothers, that they run the show in the home. And they don't do it by an overt power. They do it from a very soft power, but a power all the same. I have an older gentleman who is very much like a father figure to me. And he says, you know, Glenn, the secret to a happy marriage is knowing who the boss is. And he laughs when he says that. But you know what? I mean, we all know who the boss is. I like to say in both Jim Daly and Dr. Dobson's home, you know, they're good Christian men. They live biblically. But who wears the pants in their families? Ask them and they'll tell you. You know, in Jim's deal, I do what Gene tells me to do. Dr. Dobson, he absolutely does what Shirley tells him to do. Now, when push comes to shove and tough decisions need to be made, they do wear the pants. But I say that facetiously, that we know that a strong woman is a woman that uses her power and influence in a very soft way. There's a wonderful movie, and it's you know, not to promote this company, but it's on Instant View on Netflix, and it's called Arranged. And it's a beautiful story, and it's a very family-friendly story, which talks about this, the soft power of women, but how that soft power is probably the strongest power and most influential power of all human experience. And girls need to know how to do that, and they learn how to do that from other women. They learn it from their mothers. They learn it from their grandmothers. And that women who try to be powerful, if you will, like, you know, in the stereotypical way, like, you know, radical feminists are, they don't seem to get or find themselves getting the reaction and the actions out of men that they really want, because men respond better to that sort of soft power, that soft influence. And that is a gift. That's a skill that women learn from older women.
Yeah. You know, speaking of wearing the pants in the family, I did want to talk to you about, I know one of the things you mentioned in the book about how, you know, girls are naturally modest, but it does seem like there's a lot of, you know, girls wearing clothes that fit four-year-olds better than, you know, young teens. I don't know. Just,
Well, and it's interesting that when we see that, I mean, nobody looked at Miley at that, you know, award show and thought, that's the kind of woman I want to be. You know, we thought, oh, bless her heart. You know, she has no idea how unhealthy she is. And girls who do that kind of stuff, you know, we see the Girls Gone Wild and the Spring Break girls. I mean, there's really no value or virtue in any culture. Even when a girl gives herself away to a man, there's no good man or there's no good woman who says, you know what, that's a virtuous individual. That's what I want my daughter to be. And no young girl, you know, thinks that's exactly what I want to be. I want to be that cheap kind of girl that just gives herself away to any man who shows any interest in me. And if they do desire that, we don't think, okay, well, that's just a decision that that girl has made. The hookup culture, girls are participating in it, but they are acquiescing. They are giving up their power. If you asked any young lady if they could reverse the sexual script, as sociologists call it, it would not be a hookup culture. And unfortunately, what these women fail to realize is that they hold all the cards. They're the ones that get to say yes or no to a man. Essentially, if you think about it from an economist's point of view, they are the ones that set the price on the goods of sex. It's not the men who do it. Well, the men do it, and they always do it at a very, very cheap price. But women can set that price at a very high level. It was interesting that, you know, last week there was news about women in Russia or women in, you know, the places that have been taken over by Russia, that they are going on a sex strike, and they are not going to have sex with Russian men to exert their power, if you will. And that's a very strong power that women need to realize that they own, that they hold, and they have held it in every single culture at every time. And it's a virtue. It's a virtue for the culture.
Before our time gets away, Glenn, I did want to talk about the importance of gender-specific toys, because Rita had called in and said she has a grandson who plays with female toys and objects. Is that a problem?
It all depends on the child's age, that it is natural and normal for, you know, kids under 5 years of age, especially for boys, to play with girl toys, primarily because their male essence and nature hasn't really kicked in. But there needs to be that change, starting at about age 5 into up to age 7, where they make that transition. And it's relative. I mean, if you know, the boy likes to play with the kitchen set and things like that, not so much concern. If the boy likes to, and the typical thing is mermaids and unicorns and things like that, That is a very troubling sign and a very concerning sign. And I would say that even one of the things that you do is get dad involved in playing with the mermaids and things like that, not to have dad cement that in the boy, but to connect with the boy and then move him gently and slowly into more boy kind of toys. And that doesn't mean, you know, to put on a football uniform necessarily and get him rough and tumble, but start playing with Legos, start playing with Lincoln Logs and things like that, and help the boy understand that, you know what, this is what dad likes. And if you want to identify with me as a man, you know, you want to identify with the things that I as a man like. And that's very, very important.
So we, just in a couple minutes left, maybe just some final words of encouragement to parents who, you know, want to train up their children the way they should go and to help them to really understand what it means to be masculine or feminine.
Yeah, specifically for single moms. You know, they have an uphill climb, and they know that they have an uphill climb, but they can bring good men into their lives, primarily not through who they're dating or who they're romantically interested in, but through their own siblings. You know, if Uncle Bob is a good man, bring him into the child's life. In the boy's life, into the girl's life. Grandpa can be good as well. But if you don't have those good role models, one of the things, and they can be very powerful, is mom, when you're sitting down with your girl or your boy and you're watching TV or a movie or you encounter this in normal life, a good man who does a thing that men are supposed to do, highlight that to your daughter or son and say, you know what I like about that man? That he sacrificed himself for others, or that he was polite and kind, and that he didn't act so macho. On the other hand, when you encounter somebody who's not acting like a good man, point that out as well. That man is not being a good man because he's watching out for himself, or, you know, he's just acting in a mature way. And even if you don't have flesh and blood good men around you, you can find them in popular media and hold them up and help your child understand, okay, that's why that man is a good man. And my mom likes that kind of man. So for the son, I'm going to try to be that kind of man. And for the girl as well, my mom likes that kind of man. So that's the kind of man that I know I should be looking for in life.
Raising secure, confident kids in a gender-confused world, that's what the book will help you do. It's Secure Daughters, Confident Sons, How Parents Guide Their Children into Authentic Masculinity and Femininity, published by Multnomah. Glenn T. Stanton is the author. He's director of family formation studies that focuses on the family, has written a number of books and articles, and speaks on this topic around the country, and we're glad to have him on with us today. And we had a lot more we could get to. We'll need to have you back, Glenn, and we'll pick up the conversation from there. It's always good to visit with you.
Thank you, and I would love to come back. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Glenn Stanton from Focus on the Family and joining us today here on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of it, you can always check us out online, get the podcast at myfaithradio.com.
This has been the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. To hear more engaging discussions on the intersection of faith and life, head to myfaithradio.com and click Connecting Faith.